Okay. I'd like to call the meeting of the Finance Committee of Sylvania City Council to order. Time is 7:37 a.m. Present this morning are myself, Mark Frye, Chair, Mr. Hamm, Mr. Richardson, also members of City Council, Mrs. Capellini, Mr. McCann, Ms. Stow, Mayor Stow, Mr. Schreuer, Mr. Aller, Ms. Brining, and Mr. Sanford are also with us this morning. As you've seen in past years, reviewing the budget materials, the administration, as you all know, worked diligently trying to put the upcoming budgets together for us for our review. Mr. Schreuer is the one who spearheads that effort. I had the opportunity to sit down with him and the mayor and had some opportunities to ask questions at that time. So if you're wondering why Mark isn't asking any questions like he typically does, that's why. I asked them all previously, so I may ask some of them again, Mr. Schreuer, just to get them on the public record, not because I don't remember the answer. But I did want to point that out for the record, so please feel free to ask any questions of Mr. Schreuer. Most of you have seen these similar documents in the past. With that, unless there's any questions or comments about the materials that he sent out last week, a week ago, I'd be happy to have Mr. Schreuer kind of walk us through the information.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Frye.
Thank you.
As I go through this, please, if you have any questions, just interrupt me, very informal, so if you have any questions, just let me know. Let's start right with the budget highlights, pages 1 through 5 that you all have in front of you. As far as revenue goes, the budget calls for a 4% increase in income tax collections over what we expect to receive this current calendar year. Where we're at currently through September, we're up 11% or $1 million from what we received last year. Remember, last year was a down year. It was down 4% from the previous year, from 2019, or about $400,000. So if you want to compare this current year, kind of taking COVID out of it, to 2019, we're up $600,000 from where we were in 2019, so that's good news. And then, like I said, we're budgeting a 4% increase going forward into 2022. I'm sure you're all aware that real estate taxes are going up. It doesn't make a huge difference to the city, not like it would for the schools. We currently receive just over $900,000 in property taxes. And we're expecting that to go up to about $1.1 million, so about $200,000 additional revenue with the new evaluations. Something that is obviously a one-time thing, we had a number 3 there, something we were working jointly with the federal government on. We had a seizure of bitcoins, and for us taking part of that, we receive a certain portion of that value. The value, the bitcoin that this were seized, goes back a couple of years, but it's just taken a long time to go through the process. But the bitcoin they have been sold, so the value is set. The $750,000 is the correct value. We just don't know the time of when we'll receive it. It could actually be this current year. We're not expecting that, but it could be. It could be next year. It could be 2023. We're not sure, but it's a $750,000. It's going to go into a special fund that we already have, a 223 fund, and then we just can spend that on certain things.
What is this?
I'm sorry, 229 fund.
Yeah, what is this from?
It's from, do you remember the, an ID fraud and that kind of stuff. It was in Ottawa Hills, and they went in and seized, basically did a sting operation, and seize all of his assets. And one of, some of his assets were Bitcoin. At the time he seized it, it was valued at about $6 or $7 million. By the time they actually sold it, it was worth about $19 million. And, we participated in that. Our forensic computer, detectives, helped in that investigation. And so we did, percentage. And that's something that $50,000 is our percentage.
Where did the rest of it go?
Goes to the Fed. They go to probably, yeah, there were several agencies. I'm going to say close to 10 agencies, involved in it all. It's split up between the federal, Feds get most of it, you can imagine.
So this is a, this is from a property seizure?
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't, it was just recently that the Bitcoin sold. It was this year, right?
Yeah, it was the beginning of this year that they actually sold it.
And the plan for that going forward, I say a plan, but one thing we're strongly considering is, future, patrol vehicles, police vehicles, will come out of that fund. Now, that's not set in stone, but that's kind of the plan going forward, which would alleviate those funds to be spent on, like street projects and the capital fund instead. So it's not just going to be sitting there and used on police wages or anything like that. It has to be used for specific police related stuff, and vehicles is one of those. And
so
that would be multiple years of vehicles to use up $750,000.
Right. So this 229 fund is a capital fund?
No, it's a special, it's not a capital fund, but it's a special police fund that you can spend. We couldn't do a street project out of it, but we could do police related capital or purchases of vehicles that are specific to the police department.
How'd we go about establishing this fund?
It's been established well before my time here. It's already been in place. That we've been using this fund for, you know, for a long, long, long time.
How much money's in the fund now?
It's not, I don't have the exact balance. It's nowhere near, I mean, this is a big deal for this money to, you know, it's less than $100,000 probably in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't spend much out of it because we don't receive much into it.
What other funds go into this 229 fund?
Just any kind of forfeitures, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, the title of the fund is federal equitable sharing. Mm-hmm. So anytime we participate with an investigation that has some sort of property seizure, it typically goes into that 229. We have a couple other police accounts that are very similar, that depending on what the seizure was, it may go into that fund rather than 229. But anytime we get seizures of that method, it goes into that account.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have too many seizures.
There's specific rules and regulations that the police department has to follow in determining where they can't just pick and choose which fund they want it to go in.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on what type of seizure it is.
There are federal rules on that, as you said? Okay. I just don't remember dealing with the 229 fund.
Because we don't, yeah, there's not a lot of activity going in and out of there. This is very unusual.
We really got established when we had an officer on the regional drug squad,
uh-huh.
And we would get a piece of every drug seizure happened in the region. We pulled back on those officers a number of years ago because we just can't
don't have the people. Long. Yeah.
But that's when there was real activity in that fund.
Okay.
Learn
something new every day.
That's why I thought I'd bring it to your attention, because that's a significant dollar amount. Number four there, our budgeted general fund revenue is just under $8.3 million, which if you take out the transfers from the income tax fund into there is just under $700,000 higher than 2021. $320,000 of that is income tax, and $223,000 is municipal court collections increases. I know the question will be asked, where, what is the core? The core revenue is budgeted at just over 1.4 million and expenses are budgeted just over 2.1 million. So you're looking at a $708,000 core deficit. Very similar. We've always been around 700 to 850, 900 almost the entire time I've been here. So it's pretty similar. It's on the low end of where we've been. But that's where we are with the core. Other than that, the revenues are pretty straightforward. We have a little bit more money coming in from the income tax fund into the general fund based on our percentages of our policy, finance and debt policy. But other than that, the revenues are pretty straightforward. So are there any questions on any specific revenues? Revenue accounts?
The Total American Rescue Plan, mm-hmm. This is a one-time deal, right?
It's a one-time deal, but we received
it's in
the
2 years.
Over 2 years.
Yeah.
We've received half of it, just $1,014,000, I believe, and we should receive the second half. We will receive the second half next year. And that's set up in a specific fund, a 402 fund. So what you'll see in the budget in the 402 fund, you'll see that revenue, the second half for the $1 million that we're going to receive next year. And then on the budget side of it, I budgeted a couple hundred thousand on the expense to come out of there. And that would be mainly for once it's decided what projects we're going to use that money for. It'd be mainly for planning and preliminary engineering, stuff like that. We don't actually expect the construction or whatever we decide to use it for. We don't expect that to happen next year, but the preliminary parts of it, the planning and stuff, there is some money available in there to start that next year.
Okay. The other revenue questions I had were related to our water and sewer funds, and we lower our water rates, right? I mean, that's why the water revenues are lower?
Correct. That was intentional to, there's going to be a deficit in that fund for, there was this current year, there will be next year because of lowering the rates, and it was because we had such a significant balance in there.
And we had money in there in case we needed to do our own system, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And the sewer, Kevin, I don't know if you want to speak on that now. There is an increase budgeted there that it's not been approved yet.
Yeah, we will be proposing, assuming the fifth will do to get budget approved. And then once the budget is approved, it can come and request the actual increase. But the increase will be, I think it's 30 to 35 cents per 1,000 gallons for this year. Which will amount to about a 7 or 8% increase in the rates. But that's kind of where we offset that water. We dropped the water one because we've done those 20% increases
mm-hmm.
and ended up not needing it, so we dropped it. But knowing that the sewer rates were going to start coming up
mm-hmm.
For some of the mining projects and upcoming projects that we're still working on.
But these are still essentially balanced spending and revenue. That's what I thought. Okay.
All right, we head down to the expenditures. Our operational general fund expenditures are 12.6 million. Before the transfers out, I'll explain the transfers out a little bit later. And that's a 2% increase or $253,000 from the 2021 budget. The main part of that 2% increase is wages. The majority of our general fund is all our wages and benefits. What's in the budget is a 2.5% increase for employees. That has not been resolved. We're, this is the current contract for all our union employees ends this year, the end of this year, and we've just begun, we actually are going to meet with the, you know, the first meeting with one of the unions next week. So that 2.5%, it could vary one way or another, it could go either direction, but that's why you see that even a 2% increase in an entire budget is mainly made up of that 2.5% increase in pay.
Mm-hmm. You're going to address the transfers later?
Right now. Yep.
Okay.
This transfer, yes. Right now, we're budgeting to transfer $2.4 million from the general fund to the capital fund in 2022. And what that is the way our finance and debt policy is set up with the percentage of income tax collection just going into the general fund in 2022, that's going to provide a $2.4 million surplus just specifically related to 2022 versus what our 2022 expenses are. So what I'm proposing is to transfer that to $2.4 million, which again, it doesn't affect the balance coming into the year or anything. It's just simply the surplus from 2022. I'm proposing to transfer that into the capital improvement fund that allows us to do $2.4 million more in projects in 2022 from the capital improvement fund.
Of course, once we transfer it there, that's all we can use it for.
Once it's there, yeah. But it's budgeted to be used in 2022. It's not budgeted. It's actually budgeted to be spent in 2022.
Okay.
So it's not just increasing the balance of a capital improvement fund. It's actually going to be spent in this budget.
Yeah.
And that's something that will happen most likely every year, as long as we keep the percentages the way they are, as far as where the income tax goes, we will have some sort of a transfer, and it'll be pretty similar each year from the general fund to the capital fund. Which to me it's a good thing. That allows us to do projects without affecting our carry forward balances in either fund.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this $2.4 million that we're transferring will be spent in 2022 on identified capital projects.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other, I mean, let's say we didn't transfer that money. Our current fund balances are basically $5 million in the general fund, $15 million in the capital improvement fund. If we didn't transfer that money over and spend it in for projects, then at the end of 2022, our general fund balance would be almost $7.5 million. See, and instead, it's going to stay $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not affecting any carry forward balances or anything. It's only using 2022 dollars surpluses.
So that 5 and 15, talk about those as why those are good target balances.
As far as the general, the operational fund, you're supposed to have basically 3 or 4 months of your operational expenses.
Mm-hmm.
$5 million is over that, so we're actually a little bit high. Typically, we've been around $4 million, so we're a little bit higher, which is great news. As far as the capital improvement fund, that's kind of arbitrary how much you want
yeah.
in there based on how many projects you want to do. But that's a really healthy balance. When we go, you know, we haven't sold bonds for a long time, but when you do go out and sell bonds or when we refunded the mm-hmm. bonds, they look at those two balances specifically, and each time we've gotten the rate we've gotten because of our healthy balances there.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, in light of our hostile auditor, if we wouldn't be better off having rebalancing those balances. I mean, even if we were going to have $20 million of surplus, if we shouldn't have, think about getting closer to a 10 and 10, so we have more spending flexibility.
The way you would do that?
Yeah.
How everything is set up now is you would have, it would be a decision to be made to spend less on capital projects and therefore not.
Well, couldn't we spend down our balance in our capital?
Yes, we could.
That's what I mean. I mean, instead of, so if we didn't do this transfer and we did the same projects, at the end of 2022, we'd have 7.5 million.
And 12.5 million.
And 12.5 million.
Correct. One thing to think about going forward is the overpass project. There's going to be $3 million that it would be my recommendation to take it out of the capital improvement balance.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's another option to sell bonds to pay for it, but it'd be my recommendation to take that directly out of our balance. So you look, that's $3 million. It would come off that $15 million. You know, and what year do you expect that to?
25.
Yeah.
That's for the Monroe Street Bridge deck project.
Yes. So there is, you know, that is a significant project that's not too far away that will draw down that balance somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So part of the reason why I think you'll be balancing too is because we can move funds from the general fund into the capital fund if we find more reasons we need to spend it.
But we can't move it back.
Really
more flexible with
another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we got
that. Part of the auditor.
Yeah, well, the auditor's clearly wrong. I mean, the fund was clearly designed to give council flexibility, and the auditor's decision is based on the title of the fund, not on what it was defined to do. But we have, council can spend that operating balance however they want, including transferring it into capital fund.
And that could be an annual decision. You know, it's based on where the fund balances are. Again, $5 million is a pretty healthy fund balance, but you know, if council decides they want it to be $7 million, that's something that can happen.
Mr. Schroyer, because of our balance, could we hold off in making this transfer until the closer to the end of next year if we approve the budget as submitted? We wouldn't have to necessarily.
It doesn't have to happen in January.
Right. It could be January. It could be next October.
Correct.
And basically hold off in case there was something else that came up. Not that we expect anything, but in case something else came up that's a once in a 100-year event that we wouldn't necessarily anticipate as we sit here this morning.
No, that would be perfectly fine to do that way.
And our capital balances allow us to have that flexibility as well.
Our cared for balance, yeah.
Okay.
Could you anticipate any issues with having this rebalancing of funds, having to take that extra step to spend it, slow something down, or does it make us less appealing for some sort of interest rate? Are there any anticipated?
They look at the two funds together. Bond rating and stuff like that, they're just going to take the total sum of the two funds, so it's not going to matter what one fund is and what the other one is. They kind of look at them together. And as far as flexibility for spending and that, no, this won't, it won't cause a problem at all if we wait to, you know, until October to transfer it over.
We talk about this in our debt policy, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
About what our target balances are?
Yep. I don't remember what page.
I think general fund is 30%. 30% of our recall.
Yeah. And so we're consistent with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, here it is. It's on page 11. 30% in the general, 20 in the water, 30 in the sewer, and capital improvement is supposed to be 100%.
Of the general fund.
Of the general fund.
Which is what we're at, yeah.
So we're right there, right now. When I think it's something we ought to think about. Maybe changing those numbers a little bit.
Yeah, just setting the transfer up in the budget. Doesn't mean we have to do it. Council can decide, and like Mr. Frye was saying, council can decide at a later point, that, you know, you don't want to do the actual transfer, and that's fine. It's just set up in the budget. It doesn't happen until I actually make the transfer.
Yeah.
I certainly can wait on that.
Or we could do less if, you know, while we project income tax revenues to be X, we really don't know. If it comes in $500,000 light, we can always dial back a little bit if we choose to.
Yep. There's complete flexibility there, yeah.
Right.
I mean, this is a good problem to have. I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know most cities don't have this issue, but.
When we talk about the capital projects, that'll help explain why we need the $2.4 million to transfer in. But when we get there, we'll talk about that.
Mr. Schroer, before you go on to the next thing, unless other members of council or the committee have questions, based on your recollection, before the transfers, the $12.6 million of general fund expenditures, I seem to recall that our general fund expenditures have been flat for an extended period of years, roughly flat.
Yeah.
Is that still the case here with these kind of numbers?
It is. It's the 2% that I mentioned earlier. That takes out all the transfers out, like the transfer out to the capital improvement fund. It just looks at the expenditures, the operation expenditures, and it's 2% higher than the 2021.
Right, but if you look back, say, 8 or 10 years, were they similar numbers?
It is. We are real close. You know, we went through a transition, like you said, 8 or so years ago, we decreased the number of employees that the city had. And again, with the operation being mostly payroll-related expenditures, we are very similar to what we were at even when I started 9 years ago.
Thank you.
We talked about what's built into the budget is 2.5 pay increase, but that's council has final approval. They'll final approval of the contracts and final approval of ordinance for non-union employees. Hopefully later this year, we'll see how that goes with the negotiations. The community programs are unchanged at 88,000. Page 5 is detailed information on what that is. It's the same as last year. I was very pleased that everybody was accepted what they received last year. There was no increases, so I don't know if anybody has any questions about those. It's pretty straightforward. And then number 4, this historical village. They're asking for $160,000, which in this current year was $130,000. But that's simply due to roof repairs at the Lathrop House. That's the additional $30,000. I think it's $26,000 the estimate that they have received. So even though they're showing that they're asking for more, it's for a very specific one-time capital improvement. Kevin, I know that some of your employees have been over there, or you've been over there, and the roof definitely is unquestionable that it needs to be repaired. So
yeah, the roof is in very poor condition. We have gotten just the one quote of $26,000. When we actually get ready to do the work, we'll ask for additional proposals to make sure the roof, we're getting the best cost. But the roof is definitely in poor condition.
And is it safe to say nothing good ever happens if your roof starts to leak?
The historical village was more than willing to come and present at this meeting, or if
Thank you for saving us.
Yeah. They were more than willing to come and present why they're asking for an increase or why they're asking in detail. And after talking with Mr. Frye and the mayor, we kind of decided that they didn't necessarily need to come to this meeting because everything was pretty straightforward. But I think Mr. Frye was going to suggest if any council member feels more comfortable with coming, that we would set another finance committee meeting, let them come in and present it. And they're aware of that. They're aware of this meeting happening right now. Hi, Mary. And they're waiting to hear from me whether they need to come in or not. That's completely up to council. This seems pretty straightforward what they're asking for, but it's up to maybe the council's call.
So to members of council, what's your thoughts in regards to having them come in and provide more granularity on the information?
I don't need that.
Mr. McCann?
No.
Ms. Dow, you're our representative on that, so I'm assuming you're in agreement with this. So is it safe? I guess it's safe to say that we can always ask them to come in. And I'm sure they would be welcome the opportunity to speak in front of council at any time that we would ask them to for any reason. So.
Good. Number five, there are bond payments in 2022 are 1.8 million. Spent similar to that for the last so many years. In a few years, some of the bonds will drop off and will be about 1.4, 1.5 million. And then ultimately, as it currently stands, our bonds will be completely paid off in 2031. I've been here 9 years. We have not issued bonds. We've refunded bonds that had already been issued, but that's a good thing that's unusual that over a 9 year period that the city hasn't had to issue any bonds for significant projects. So.
Mr. Schroer, in regards to the bonds that are coming off and rolling off for a couple of years, the money that, because if I recall correctly, the bonds are one of the primary initial obligations for the income tax fund. Is that correct?
Exactly. They're transferred from the income tax fund to the debt service fund to pay for the bonds. So if that, when that dollar amount goes down, in between now and 2031, it goes down two times each year, each like three years apart. So that will allow us to transfer more money into the general fund and therefore.
So, but would it remain on the waterfall split based upon what we've got in the debt policy saying, okay, we're going to have this percentage, we got our costs and they're not going to probably change materially. So we've got certain percentage that goes into the general fund, certain percentage that goes to the capital fund, and that extra money would basically be split in the same way, correct? Or not?
Once the money gets into the income tax fund, which is 67% of the income tax collections goes into the income tax fund, directly into the income tax fund.
Right.
Once it's there, it's not a percentage, it's just a dollar, like whatever dollar amount it takes to pay for our bonds goes, then gets transferred into the debt service fund, and the remaining goes into the general fund.
Got it.
So it's not a percentage, so it'll just be less dollar amount being transferred into the debt service fund, more being that same amount being transferred additionally into the general fund.
So it all flows into the general.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
And then we'll be right back to what we've talked about. Do we let it sit there or do we transfer it into the capital?
I guess in the other, when we're talking about bonded debt, you know, when you look at the Monroe project, you know, a relatively big project. And I'm not at all uncomfortable with bonded debt for capital projects. I mean, the capital project will have a 30, 40 year life. And, you know, I'm not, committed to paying for that upfront. I mean, I'm very comfortable paying for that over the period of use of the project. So I guess when we get to that point, that would be another time to look at, again, at what kind of balances we want in those funds. Because obviously, if we bond that expenditure, we can maintain a higher, higher balances in those funds, which actually give us more flexibility, in terms of how we spend our money. But that's, I mean, that's not a decision we have to make today. But it is, but it's something we'll have to.
Sure.
Look at over the next couple of years.
Banks loan money to people that don't need it.
Right. And it's good to be that.
Absolutely.
Number six there, capital improvement fund projects. Out of capital improvement fund are 7.25 million. That's before grants, which are about 3.5 million in that fund. And then we're also going to spend another 700,000 from their permissive tax fund balance. That's been building up over the course of many years. It's right around 900,000 now. There's no reason that it needs to be over a couple hundred thousand. What gets paid out of that fund on an annual basis is salt, to salt the roads. And the revenue, if you remember, we increased permissive tax a few years back, and the revenue coming into that fund is outpacing any expenditures that come out of that fund. So we're proposing, instead of taking these projects out of the capital fund and drawing that balance down, we'd rather take them out of the permissive tax fund. On a one-time basis, this is just a one-year thing, to draw that balance down to get it more in line with what it can be and what it should be. And then in the future, that like I said, it's a one-time thing. It's not going to happen every year. The revenues aren't outpacing the expenditures, but this is built up over the course of, 10 years. So if we want to get to page four there, we could talk about the specific projects. And then over to the right there are our grant money that we're receiving for those projects. One thing I want to make a note of, the Haroon Park improvements, $731,000. It's not shown on here, but I believe $600,000 of that is grants, correct, Kevin? So the parks equipment, the $248,000, $215,000 of that is aerial truck, saying that right, aerial truck. We are putting $100,000 into the budget for preliminary work for a downtown streetscape. And also under lands and buildings, we're putting $100,000 into the budget for phase three of the River Trail project. That again is to do preliminary work and planning.
Let me make sure I understand. These grant monies, the listed amount, that's the total cost, right?
Yes. Like, and if we want to look at Haroon and Monroe improvements,
yeah,
2.4 million is the total amount. That's the amount that's actually in the budget on the expense side. But then on the revenue side, in the same fund, the 401 capital improvement fund, you'll see the 1.6. You won't see 1.6 because it's in there with the total.
Right.
But the grants on the revenue side then.
So the net cost there is like $800,000. Right. Okay. That's how I thought it worked. Okay.
So like I said, there's 7.25 million. If you add the 700,000 in the permissive tax fund, we're basically right at $8 million in capital projects, with about 4 million of that being grants. Significantly higher than any previous year since I've been here. but I think it's warranted, I think it's justified, it's something I'll make a note of, even in outside of these two funds, we have the phase two sewer lining, so we have another, almost $2 million project out of the sewer fund, with the $800,000 of that being grants, so another almost $1.2 million in net costs. So we're close to $10 million in projects next year.
Mr. Schroyer, I'm going to ask Mr. Aller, of the grants, are those grants all in pocket, or are we expect, are some of those expected but not certified yet?
The Hollybrook Marshall is anticipated. In fact, that will be on the upcoming council agenda for the application for that. So that's not in pocket. Everything else listed is in pocket.
Okay. And based upon your expertise and wizardry associated with scoring on the OPWC money, I'm assuming that you're comfortable that $700,000 is going to come through.
Yeah, I'm a little less confident than the two applications that that council approved this past meeting.
Right.
Because the score is a little bit lower, but I believe based on past years, I believe that we'll be successful.
Thank you.
And I think you indicated to me that if for some reason we're not successful, then we'll reassess the whole project.
It's not
something we would just go ahead and automatically still do. It would so often come back to council if it's even going to be proposed.
Right.
It's a needed project in anticipation of the interchange project, actually. That project will affect the traffic flow on Acres and that whole northeast section.
Yeah.
And so it's a needed project due to the interchange. We may take a look. Maybe we take a look at setting that back in here. Combining the project with a better scoring OPWC project here. More. So that's right now we're putting it submitted as a standalone.
It's interesting to me to watch all the ripples of preparation that we're doing and everyone is doing, getting ready for that one project, and all the other stuff that rolls off of that. It's just kind of interesting to watch that on such a significant project for our community.
Kevin, do you want to talk about what phase three of the river trail is?
The third phase of the river trail is really going to be identifying a possible successful route. As you know here, in getting it from Main Street to Stoica, we have an issue where, unfortunately, we don't have any property owners that are ecstatic about having the river trail on the property. As we go to the east, there are some definite route challenges there. It's the same situation. We don't have a good private partner in that as far as payment access. Right now, the projection is that it would go along Monroe Street, that has right-of-way issues. Where do we cross Monroe Street to get to Prometica? There are better places to do that from an aesthetic standpoint, but they don't necessarily work very well from a logistics standpoint. So that's really what we want to be looking at in that next phase is what can we accomplish and then try to start moving forward with that path. We've had discussions with Country Club in the past. Not surprisingly, they don't want to bike trail on it, go around through the golf course. We have the grocery right-of-way issue. I think it's McPeak Ditch You know, they're on Monroe Street, that's, to stay on Monroe Street, to cross that ditch, just west of Corey Road is, that just is a huge problem. And would basically require us to do a whole new bridge through there. You can imagine a bridge replacement in Monroe Street. So we did a small one here, that's much bigger down there, so. Those are the things that we'd like hope to work through in that portion of the show.
Quick question, and I'm going east, instead of going all the east, all the way east to Silica, what if you just connect to Lord's? So you go over, you go under the railroad, and then right past the railroad, then you go up, and then you're not, I mean, I know that, what do they call that garden down low that's sensitive? What if you don't go that way and you were just trying to connect Lord's, come over the river and then go up, because there's like kind of a big drainage ditch right there? I wonder if they'd be agreeable to that instead of, and then maybe we get the, we just call it half of a phase.
Two and a half. Yeah, those, and those are the kinds of discussions that we, you know, hope to have and see if we can then get that designed, that doesn't work at the time. One of the things that we're looking at to that southern end, to that Lord's connection is in 24, I believe it is, we have Main Street reconstruction project. And as part of that, the plan was to do a road diet and reduce the lane width for the car traffic and install the pipelines along that section. That would get it down to convent, essentially. So we take some pipe back out there, and is there a connection somewhere along there to the Lord's campus? And not necessarily all the way down to convent, but is there something that we need a connection about? So, but that would be another thing we could look at is connecting that bridge.
This is a department that
we're getting
over the
Yeah, it's a challenging section. And we've had, you know, we've had ongoing discussions with the mayor and all, and myself and all my discussions with the Lord's people about making that connection. But it's just, it's, there's not a clear cut good spot. It's not impossible, but it's something we're trying to accomplish.
If you guys want to look at page three, now we're still on expenditures. It's on the left-hand side, obviously, you see all the different departments in the operation, the general fund, and then the complete right-hand side is the percentage increase in the 2022 budget from the 2021 budget. Some things to make note of. Obviously, our police communications is a whole different process now. I think everybody's aware of what's going on there, so it's a little bit of a decrease from what we're currently spending. That includes what we paid at the county and also what we're paying with the three records of personnel that we're keeping. So that's everything included, and it's just a small decrease. Refuse collection, 5.2% increase. Mainly that's the increase with our new contract. It just kind of gets us right in line to what we've been spending every year. Same as street cleaning. 8.1%, even though it's only 13,000 more, but it gets us more in line to what we're actually spending. Service administration, do you, Kevin, you want to talk about the different, you have one-time stuff going on in that department, that, or in a couple of your departments that showing up here?
Yeah, we have been, like Toby said, in a few of the departments, we have some one-time expenses As you know, we hired another GIS coordinator. And a process that we had actually started when we had Chad Johnson in the previous year. We had actually started and we were ready to pull the plug, so to speak, to start moving forward. Some computer maintenance management systems and asset management systems that, from a water standpoint, were required to be doing. It's our asset management program requires it, and so we need to move in that direction. But I didn't want to just do it for water, because the asset management, we're doing some of those things throughout the city, and it made sense to utilize the program for everything. And so we have been working on that. We were ready to pull the plug when all of a sudden Chad decided to go elsewhere, and so we pulled back, because that position will be the primary gatekeeper of the system, if you will. Now with Tony on board, he's been looking at different programs, and we'll be ready to move forward with that. That is a one-time expense of almost $22,000. And then there will be some annual licenses and that kind of stuff that have a much reduced cost. So that is in the program. Our software package that we utilize for utility billing is also at end of life. It will no longer be supported. And so we'd be looking at either upgrading that existing system or moving to a different system. Right now we are, we'll seem to be proposing moving to a different system. That will occur towards the end of 2022. We'll have to come to council, of course, when we decide to move forward on that. But we've talked about that. It's the MuniLink system that we still plan to move to, but that will also hit in the 2022 budget. So those are the two primary things. We have a couple other things that are garages for some of our vehicle or fleet maintenance and that kind of stuff. But those are the two big expenses. Both of those are over $20,000 each. So now the MuniLink, that cost is primarily in the water and sewer funds. That did not hit, well, it's all it did not hit the general fund. But the GIS, the computer maintenance and the asset management systems, those were spread throughout. We put the majority of that into the service department because it benefits the whole city.
In lands and buildings, the 48.2% or 41,000, that is the two new custodian positions that obviously weren't there before. And then we've taken the expense that we were spending on the cleaning company out of, like, we decreased those expenditures to zero in the police department. So I think it was right around $30,000 a year we were spending in the police department, whereas now it's zero as far as for pay a cleaning company. So I decided to put the payroll into the lands and buildings account. So that's why you see that increase there. It's not something that was there before.
And that accounts for the fact that despite the projected potential budget cost for law enforcement, based upon union contract negotiations being finalized, is only 1.4%, correct?
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything to do with the reduction in officers or anything of the sort?
No.
Right.
It's that 30,000 that I took out of there, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Schreier, can I ask, could you tell us a little bit more about what's involved with the downtown streetscape? Is that similar to the river trail where it's just studying what's being done, or is that actually investing in change of that?
No, I assume you won't do that. Sorry about that. That's more, I'll call preliminary design, research and preliminary design. Set to be some community meetings to see about, you know, what they want. You know, some design services, the big factor in our downtown is the you know, we have 62 feet total basic building things. And that's, it seems 62 feet sounds like a broad area, but when you start trying to cram water, sewer, electric, I have a feeling the gas company, if they're living downtown, if you haven't seen them, I got a feeling they're gonna wanna to replace a gas main and possibly put it in there and that kind of stuff. So once we start doing that, you know, it's how does that all come together? So we got a preliminary proposal from DGL, they've done several downtown streetscape projects, so we want that, those initial discussions with the community to start, and then also to start getting what challenges are we facing from the start.
And then this can tie in with some of what we're discussing with 56, correct? Right, so this can then help with that.
Yep. Because right now, at this point, we've just kind of been, I know that this city did a downtown streetscape and it cost them this much. I know this city did one and it cost them this much. So we've just been kind of using those general numbers for what we need to have there. But, as we're going further along in that whole process, just in water main replacement alone, that the water main that's downtown is all of 100 years old. When we start construction equipment and everything, it's kind of pop. So it's time to replace. Plus, we're there. It's time to replace them. That alone is, once we start running the numbers, we're close to almost $500,000 just in replacing water. So that those are the kinds of things that we want to make sure we got everything taken care of. When we go in, we want to make sure we got everything taken care of.
Mr. Aller, I know we've got a project on Maplewood, immediately north of where we're sitting right now. How's that going to interact with that streetscape conversation that you're considering? Because the timing of that is obviously more accelerated on Maplewood than.
We are, it's our hope that we can tie it into everything. Those discussions that I've talked about having with the community and that kind of stuff, we've had meetings with downtown businesses on that section of Maplewood. We're actually removing some of the parking in that section of Maplewood and burning pump outs and flower boxes and things of that nature. We actually will be setting up a meeting with the same downtown group kind of review what's on the plans at this point and say, okay, do we want any changes or what do you like, what don't you like? So that we're setting the stage, if you will, for that downtown, the larger downtown project.
Great, thank you.
If you go back to page one, down at the bottom, the summary, again, the 2022 budget is balanced in the general fund and the capital fund there in number one. And then in number two, with all the operating and capital funds, we actually have a little bit of a surplus, $184,000 in 2022. Again, that's with almost, $7.5 million of projects out of the capital fund. 2021 is projected to have a $2 million surplus, with $1 million of that is the ARP funding, and then $1 million of that is additional income tax collections. The 2020 audited surplus was $3.2 million. About $2 million of that, we got about $1.5 million in the CARES funding, and another $500,000 in a rebate or refund from the workers' comp system in Ohio. So that's $2 million of the $3.2 million, but we still had a $1.2 million surplus, all things being equal. And then in 2019, the audited surplus was $1.4 million. So we've been able to build our, specifically our capital improvement fund balance, we've been able to build that up. We were down to between 8 and 9 million a few years ago, so now we're at 15 million. Now, obviously, a big thing of that was the transfer from the general fund to the capital fund that our auditors wanted us to do. But we had to have those additional funds in the general fund to do that, and we did, so. I don't know if there's any other questions, the process going forward. The budget ordinance won't be on council's agenda until the first meeting in November. And it's completely up to council whether you take three readings or not. It won't hinder us if you take three readings, so it helps a little bit if you pass it earlier, but it's not, nothing that really should be a major consideration.
Toby, you already addressed the municipal court issue. And I'm looking at the five-year plan here. Has the judge been tied into those discussions directly to, I mean, where is, what's the judge's role in this long term?
Periodically, I have met with the judge and the magistrate. Typically, we're meeting like, and speaking of an annual, like a current year, where we're at currently, and, you know, like for next year's budget. There's a lot going on in the court. Obviously, COVID kind of put off their plans as far as increasing their revenue. They're really dependent on what they're telling me. Part of that dependence is on, you know, what our police do, you know, as far as out there writing tickets and stuff. They're really dependent on that. And I know in 2019 or 2020 because of COVID, a lot of that really took a dip.
Yep.
I think 2020 is an outlier year for the court. Do I expect the $700,000 to go down significantly? No, their costs are pretty set.
Yeah, I know. You know, as I look at this, even though we project a five-year an increase from about 1.2 to about 1.4 million in fines and forfeits. And I don't mean to harp on this, but this really is, this expenditure just isn't fair to the city of Sylvania. And I think it would be worth talking to the judge. There are cost issues in terms of the cost of filing cases over there that he does have more control over. You know, the filing fees for foreclosures and so forth.
He's definitely increased those since he's come in. But
has he?
Yes, he has.
Okay, because I know Judge Ramey was very reluctant to do that.
No, their revenue.
And I don't file over there, so I don't really know. But
their revenue was significantly trending up, until COVID hit. they've increased their fees.
Okay.
They've cut some costs, and then they've added personnel costs in other areas. So it's the costs are kind of breaking even. He is conscious, I will say, when I've met with them. They definitely are focused on the cost. That doesn't necessarily mean they always.
Yeah, every time I see
them. Them to do, but they've cut overtime significantly. They've restructured positions, but then on the other side, they've added some positions. So it's kind of become a wash in the cost side. And we were hoping that they could do it on the revenue side, and it was going that direction, and then COVID hit, so we're not exactly sure how that would get back on track.
So you don't show increases from fines and costs and fees here. Don't show much anyway.
No. And that's simply because of the fact that he's already come in and increased all that. He'd have to do it again. And I have not had those discussions with him where he has indicated that he is planning on increasing them further.
Yeah, well, I noticed that you don't project any increase between 2022 and 2025? Because you just don't think you can, that's not really...
It's so variable based on not only him increasing the fees, but also the police, are there going to be more citations? It's just very rare, very variable.
Well, I guess the only thing I'd like to make sure he was aware of these numbers.
Sure, I will get those to him.
And the council continues to watch them. I think he knows that. He talks to me, it seems like every time I see him, he mentions that, what he's trying to, you know, what he's trying to do, so. Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a...
Any other questions from members of council? Mrs. Westfall?
I have a quick question, and this might be something we talk about offline, because it may have been addressed prior to my arrival, and my apologies for being late. You know, Mr. Schreier, you spoke about the 2021 $2 million surplus being from the CARES funding and the workers' comp. And we also spoke about the additional $4 million and the higher distribution to the total capital improvement fund. Are some of those funds then what's allowing us to do more in the capital fund?
Yeah, indirectly, because any additional revenue, income tax, like the CARES funding, that all went into the general fund too, because we use it for police wages. So that allowed us to build up the general fund.
Okay.
And then that allowed us to do that one-time transfer that the auditors wanted to do us to do from over $6 million from the general fund to the capital fund. That's how our balance got from 8 to 9 million to 15 million. So indirectly, yes, it didn't all happen in the capital fund, but it happened in the general fund that allowed us to transfer those funds to the capital fund.
So the money from the CARES funding is essentially being, in some fashion, distributed to the capital funding efforts that are happening this year, and that decision is...
Technically, the CARES funding was used to pay for police wages, but since we didn't have to use operational funds, the 1.5 million in CARE funds, since we didn't have to use operational funds to pay for those police, we were able to transfer that 1.5 million into the capital fund. That's essentially what happened.
Okay, and that's how we're doing some additional work right now. Right. Those decisions are made.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of council?
What's your plan moving forward with this?
I'm comfortable with what the administration has been proposed. Unless a member of the committee or council has concerns about that, I would be looking for a motion to move the proposed budget to the first meeting in November, Mr. Schreier. Would that be okay? Which would be, if I recall correctly, November 1st?
Yes.
For initial reading and consideration by council?
Yeah, you have, there are some advantages to getting this approved. You can start doing...
Logistically, yes, but my personal opinion, I would prefer to at least go past one reading, because I don't want anybody in the public to think that we're pushing it through real quick. I'd like it to at least go two readings, but I think that's what we've done in the past. I don't know that we've ever gone to three readings. We may have, but it would be my suggestion not to vote on it or to pass it in the first reading, but to at least go into the second reading.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense to have two readings, maybe three. We can decide that as council members, but certainly giving the public the opportunity, that's two November meetings that they would have the ability to provide feedback on if they choose to.
Yeah, if we did a first reading on our first reading in November, we could adopt it at our... In the middle of November, that'd give you 6 weeks to the end of the year.
That allows, specifically, Chair and our council clerk, it allows her to then put all her focus on that year and, you know, transfer entry that she does
right
2 weeks earlier.
Right.
Well, that sounds like a good plan.
So, is a member of the committee willing to make a motion to advance, ask the administration to advance legislation for the proposed budget as submitted?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Now, we do have a couple minutes before nine. Are we okay for 5 or 10 minutes to chat about debt policy?
Yeah.
See if we can get that cleaned up. Mr. Schroyer, I know there were a couple things in the debt policy. There was one thing I wanted to make a modification on language, but there were also two or three things that you wanted, for lack of a better term, clean up and clarify in the debt policy.
Yes.
Could you go through those and point those out to us, please?
I apologize if not everybody has a copy, but on page 4, it talks about where investment proceeds go. And all I'm doing is adding a specific fund, the American Rescue Plan Fund. We've created that fund for the $1 million that's sitting in there right now. And federal law requires us to also award interest on that $1 million until we spend it. So all I'm doing is adding that fund in addition to the other funds that the interest earnings already go to. And that specifically is done based on the value in that fund. The dollar value in that fund determines the percentage of the interest earnings goes to that fund. So I'm just adding that on page four, number 2 down there. The other one on page 6 under B, capital budget. The current policy reads that the purchase or construction of a fixed asset with an acquisition cost of at least $50,000 is eligible for funding as a capital project. We've always used $10,000 to determine depreciation. Anything over $10,000 is appreciation. And it makes sense to me. If we buy a $15,000 vehicle, I want the flexibility and quite honestly how we've been doing it is we've taken that out of the capital improvement fund. So that $50,000 is high. I'd like to change it back to $10,000, change it to $10,000. Which is the value that we use to depreciate. Anything over $10,000 we use as a fixed asset to depreciate. On the next page, 7, interest distribution at the top is what we just talked about. It's just adding the American Rescue Plan Fund.
What page is that?
It's the very next page, page 7.
Okay, yeah, I got it, yeah.
It's just restating what we went over it. You know, the first one we went over. On page 8, at the very top, the Eternal Service Funds, where it starts with information technology, that no longer is an internal service fund. They're just another department in a general fund. So that whole section, or that section about information technology is just going to come out of there completely. And it'll just start with the general fund, water fund, sewer fund, and capital improvement fund, that sentence. And again, that's because the IT department, when I started here, used to be its own separate fund. And I've incorporated that into the general fund, just like every other department. I'm not sure why it was set up at one time as a special fund. And then Mark, Mr. Fry, on page 10, under letter C towards the bottom, the inter-fund cash transfer, that's the funding Mr. Fry was talking about, and the wording's really up to how council wants it. The word, what brought this up is the transfer that I made from the general fund to the capital improvement fund that the auditors wanted us to do. That was a mistake that I made. I should have come to council first to get approval to do that. And I think that's the language we wanted to kind of going forward that it can't happen that way again. I think that's kind of...
Yeah, my concern was that the way that it's... you could interpret that to say if it was authorized after the fact, it would be okay, which in this case is, you know, worked for us in, you know, last year in my mind, but, you know, I'd like to have that be previously approved or priorly approved. I'm not sure exactly what the language is. I'll let the law director wordsmith that one, but so that those transfers are approved by council prior to the transfer occurring.
I think this language is fine.
Yeah.
And it probably needs to be specific that the budget is not pre-approval, right? You don't
right.
want the budget, you don't want to say that we approved the budget, so and then approve the transfer, then you want actually to come to council again to get approval, even though it's already in the budget to
correct.
Do, right?
Yeah, just like we do for a streets project. If Mr. Aller, mm-hmm. we've got this streets project online or the sewer project, that it comes back to council for the actual expenditures or the,
sure.
of the funds.
Yep. And that was it on the debt policy.
Okay. Any questions or concerns from members of council in regards to those proposed changes?
Yeah, that's separate from this, though.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Are members of the committee okay with the proposed modifications from Mr. Schroyer?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion from a member of the finance committee to advance modifications to the City of Sylvania's financial and debt policy as described here this morning by Mr. Schroyer.
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. Mrs. Westbaum, Mr. Hanen seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Anything else to come before the committee?
Yes, if I could have a couple of things.
Sure.
I know, Mr. Fry, you and I and the mayor briefly discussed this. Delinquent income tax collections. We talked about this. We started this discussion a couple of years ago, and then COVID hit, and it just wasn't the time to go after people. The income tax department would like to, at some point, turn this process over to the state. There's our other communities that are doing that. They just hold a little bit more weight than just having our attorney, not our in-house attorney, but our outside attorney going after people. I just wanted it to be on your radar. We haven't forgot about it. It's probably still not the best time, you know, where we're at with COVID right now, but it's something that maybe later in 2022 that we could look at the possibility, you know, the starting those discussions again. It goes up about, it's been going up about $50,000 a year, delinquent has. We're up right around $900,000. Again, if you remember the report I gave you before, about half of that is 50 people or 50 entities. There's some significant ones out there. So it's nothing that needs to be decided now. I just wanted to bring it to your attention that it's something we could discuss maybe later in 2022, see where we're at. And then one other thing.
Hold on, Mr. Schroyer, Mrs. Westbaum, look like
I was, okay, I remember when we had that discussion, Toby, and I do think it's something that definitely needs to be revisited, and I don't think we should put it off too far.
Yeah, I think that I would agree with Mrs. Westbaum. I think that makes sense. I would prefer to wait until after we get through the winter, because we know what happened last winter with the spike in additional COVID cases, make sure there was no additional disruptions or incremental disruptions because of what we're dealing with. But I would agree early next year, if things are looking better, it would make sense to me to start moving forward with that.
And then if I could, Mr. Fry, something that came up in our audit exit conference, so Mr. Fry is aware of this. What auditors made a suggestion, how a purchase is supposed to work from the city is the department head, the person making the purchase, should send a purchase requisition to finance that I have to approve that the funds are there. And then we create a purchase order, goes back to the department, and then they can make the purchase. For timing issues, for practicality, it very seldom can work that way. So what the auditors allow you to do is they allow the department head to make the purchase. And most times they make the purchase, the invoice gets sent to them, and that's what comes to us. It's already a done deal. I still have to, you know, confirm that the money's there. They come, then an now certificate, so I have to basically certify that it's a now and then certificate and that the money was there. And that allows, it would almost be virtually impossible to run a city if they had to wait for every purchase order to be approved. And this is how we've operated forever. The auditors are okay with that process. What they're saying is any of those specific purchases that are made before finance approval, any one of those over 3,000, they want to go to council, city council, to approve. I don't know if it'll be a motion.
Because I reached out to the other communities to see how they handle it, and nobody handles it differently than what we do, and their auditors didn't cite it as something that they needed to correct. So
our auditors really love us.
So I am comfortable with that process.
So it'll probably, and the first one will be it'll be catching up a little bit going back, so it'll be a lot bigger than what you see on a normal basis. And basically, I'll just show the vendor, the department, and the dollar amount, and it'll be like a one page total summary of each one, not each one page total.
Do we have a sense, Mr. Schroeder, how many of these we're going to see on this first lump, and then how many we're going to see on an ongoing basis?
I think you're going to see probably close to 25 to 30 on the first time, and then on an ongoing basis, you might see 5 to 10.
So you would expect to do this once a month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so the revised code requires them to be approved within 30 days of the purchase.
So the catch-up,
some of those will obviously be past 30 days.
Right, understood. I'll let you, Mrs. Briney, worry about the language that needs to be in there and the like, but what I would request for members of council, because there are more than there would typically be, that you would get that to us prior to the traditional packet coming out, to give us more time to review that and reach back and ask questions rather than giving it to us on a Friday afternoon for a Monday evening meeting.
We'll plan on it being the November 1st meeting. Yeah.
Does that give us enough time?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee or council in that regard? Any other business to come before the committee? Could I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Sorry.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. And we are adjourned.